Committee on Rules and Executive Appointments for February 21st, 2008, and I will open a public hearing on House Bill 3616A, and will you give an explanation of what's before us now?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3616 came to you from the floor today. I believe it's for the purpose of adding the Dash A9 amendment that's in your packet. It requires health benefit plans to provide coverage for services rendered by licensed professional counselors or marriage family, licensed marriage and family therapists acting in their scope of practice. And the Dash 9 amendment restores current language that prohibits the use of the title licensed professional counselors or licensed marriage and family therapists if they're not licensed.
Okay. I think actually it probably would be a benefit to bring Senator Mona Sanderson up to basically, I think we all understand what this does, but if she could basically give us a clear indication of how, even with such a small amendment, this bill is actually modified significantly.
As Marjorie Taylor, Ms. Taylor said, this bill has two sections, and what we are doing is reverting back to original language and basically deleting most of Section 5, which deals with really who can call themselves a mental health professional. And once the bill was passed out, we thought we took care of it, but really there are a lot of professions out there that we hadn't considered that may be eliminated from being able to treat people. And so it was much better for us to just remove that section and work on the scope of practice of these various professions in the 09 session.
Okay. Any questions for the senator? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify? If not,
I forgot to say I was Senator Lori Morris.
With that, I will close the public hearing. Is there a motion on the Dash 9 amendments?
Are we in work session, Mr. Chair?
Yes, open work session.
Were you going to make a motion?
No.
No, that was just a point of order.
No.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move the Dash A9 amendments to House Bill 3616.
Okay. The Dash A9 amendments to 3616A have been moved. Any discussion? Any objections to the motion on the amendment? Is there a motion to move the bill back to the floor with due pass recommendation as amended?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Any objections?
I object.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, and I will just note that I'll give a courtesy yes vote in committee.
Okay. Senator Atkinson objected.
Are we having a roll call vote?
Yes, not a real roll call, but since, and I believe Senator Farioli is objecting.
He will.
Yes. So, motion passes.
Serve notice of a minority report.
Thank you very much. Our carrier will be Senator Mona Sanderson. Okay.
Senator Carter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. This carrier will be Senator Margaret Carter. Okay. Okay. We will be in stand at ease for just a moment to make sure I get all of these right.
Members of the committee, House Bill 3615A provides the ballot title for Senate Bill 1087.
Okay. Has anyone signed up to testify? Senator Przemski, would you like to say anything? Okay. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Is there a motion to move in an open work session? Is there a motion to move 3615A to the floor with the due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3615A to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay, it's been moved to send 3615A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Will the clerk please call the roll?
No.
Senator Watkins?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Farioli?
No.
Aye. Motion passes. Carrier.
Serve notice to do a minority report, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Notice has been served of a potential minority report on this bill. And in this case, Senator Prozanski will be the carrier. I will open a public hearing on House Bill 3634A. Committee Administrator.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3634 directs the Secretary of State to number measures to be voted on during the elections in a certain order.
Okay. Is there anyone that wishes to testify? Okay. Ms. Felisa. Oh, this is 3624, not 34.
Giving her a heart attack.
No, that didn't look like the right. That didn't look like the right bill. Okay, I will close the public hearing. Open a work session on 3634A.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 3634A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, 3634A has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Will the clerk please call the roll?
No.
Senator Luckian?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Farioli?
No.
Senator Deadwood?
Aye. Motion passes. I will carry.
Serve notice of possible minority report.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Now.
That's a very broad relating clause. We should have some fun with that one.
Okay. Just at ease for a second here.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3624A directs the Department of Transportation to report to the legislature and describe the effects of the implementation of Senate Bill 1080.
Okay. There is someone scheduled here to speak, Felisa Higgins. If you would please come forward, identify yourself for the record.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Felisa Higgins, and I'm here representing SEIU. We're in support of House Bill 3624A. We believe that this is a good bill and will help the department track the problems that are likely to occur with the implementation of Senate Bill 1080 and allows for opportunity at a future session to correct those problems as they arise. I'm happy to take questions from the committee.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much for coming here this evening.
Thank you.
Anyone else who wishes to testify on House Bill 3624A? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing, open a work session on 3624A.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would move House Bill 3624A to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. 3624A has been moved to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
No.
Senator Lockin?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator Farioli?
Nope.
Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Serve notice of a possible minority report.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
It is. For the record, Senator Farioli has served notice of a possible minority report. And Senator Brown, will you carry 3624A?
Of course.
Okay. I apologize if there was anybody here waiting. My normal thing on memorials is to take testimony early if there's anyone. Is there anyone here for the memorial?
No.
No. Okay. But I'll still open a... I will open a public hearing on HCR 105. Committee Administrator, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, HCR 105 expresses sympathy to the family of Skip Knight, who was a member of the Medford City Council.
Okay. Is there anyone that wishes to testify in this report? Seeing no one, we will close the public hearing. Do I have a motion?
Are we in work session, Mr. Chair?
I will open work session. Thank you, Senator Farioli.
Mr. Chair, I would move HCR 105 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. HCR 105 has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any additional discussion?
I just only note that he received an MBA from Mankato State University in Mankato, Minnesota, in addition to his graduation degree from Southern Oregon. So what a wonderful combination, Mr. Chair.
Okay. On this one, I know there's still going to need notes, but I will just ask, are there any objections? Seeing no objections, motion passes. Senator Bates will carry, unless I change it before it gets to the floor. Now I'm going to actually go up to 3602A. I will open a public hearing on 3602A.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3602A requires information regarding the president and vice president to be filed with the county clerks no later than the 55th day before the November general election. All other information regarding candidates and measures has to be supplied to the county clerks by the 61st day prior to that election.
Okay. Not making any light of this, but 3602A, is there anyone that wishes to testify? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing. I will open a work session. Would someone please make the motion on 3602A?
Pardon me. Go ahead, Senator Avakian.
I'll move 3602A to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay, 3602A has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I will not divulge the notes that have been passed to me by Senator Brown.
Public record, Mr. Chairman.
I don't think so.
Better read this.
And so, will the clerk please call the roll?
Senator Atkinson?
No. Wait a second.
Hi.
Senator Brown?
Senator Brown, please.
Aye.
Senator Farioli?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Senator Farioli, will you carry?
Pleased to do so, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Gasher, we were terrified that you would pass whatever minority report we offered.
What could happen?
Okay.
I've done it twice.
3639, I will open a public hearing. 3639A, committee administrator.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3639. It's related to housing and urban development. I'm sure that you have some witnesses who would like to explain that bill to you.
Okay.
I have any friends.
Okay, I'll bring up Elizabeth Mazzara and Doug McKean, both from Bowie. Do you know if Margaret wants to carry this here?
Okay.
Okay. Please identify yourself for the record and begin at your leisure.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Elizabeth Mazzara. I'm the Legislative and Communications Director at the Bureau of Labor and Industries. Sitting next to me is Doug McKean. He's our Deputy Commissioner, and he won't be providing testimony, but will be available in case there are any technical legal questions. Thank you for taking time today to consider House Bill 3639 relating to housing discrimination. You have before you the testimony of Labor Commissioner Dan Gardner. Rather than reading, I'd just like to say a couple quick words about this bill. As a quick refresher, this bill deals with substantial equivalency, which is a certification from the federal government acknowledging that Oregon's laws are in sync with federal fair housing laws. This certification will allow Oregon to complete federal fair housing investigations here in the state. This is something we've not been able to do since 1992. Last session, Senator Carter sponsored Senate Bill 725, which passed 43-14 in the House and 24-4 in the Senate. House Bill 3639 simply provides technical fixes required by HUD that will allow us to finally implement the important work accomplished by Senate Bill 725. Commissioner Gard and I met with the Assistant Secretary of HUD, Kim Kendricks, on January 30th. She personally guaranteed us that should we pass these minor legislative fixes, Oregon would receive our interim certification within 30 days. I'm hopeful you'll vote to pass House Bill 3639 and help us finally bring federal fair housing investigations back to Oregon. We're available for questions. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ms. Mazar or Mr. McKean? Yes, Senator Ferriola.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In either of your opinion, does this have any effect on the LJOs, the folks that we trust to do independent inquiry and hearings?
I'll start by saying Boley already has, we house the Civil Rights Division for the State of Oregon, as you know, and we already complete the state housing discrimination cases. So we already have experts within Boley that deal with state housing laws. This is just going to allow us to now use apply the federal standards.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ferrioli, my name is Doug McKean, I'm the Deputy Commissioner. We have two administrative law judges within the agency, and is that what your question is about? There is the Office of Administrative Hearings that houses ALJs that provide services to a number of agencies around the state. But twice, this body has decided to allow Boley to have its own ALJs, along with about 25 other agencies. And so we have two ALJs that hear all of our contested cases in all of the areas of civil rights that we investigate or enforce the law regarding. And so while on the House side there was a motion made for an amendment to require that the administrative law judges from the Office of Administrative Hearings hear these housing cases, at least in my judgment, that wouldn't make good sense because we already have ALJs who have heard the housing cases under state law in Oregon. They have that expertise. It makes sense to me, at least, to keep those hearings within the agency that has that expertise.
Follow-up?
Yes.
Mr. Chair. Is it the case that the agency can overrule the findings of an administrative law judge?
Mr. Chair and Senator Ferrioli, the ALJs issue a proposed order which has the findings of facts and conclusions of law and determination. And then the parties can file exceptions to that proposed order. The Commissioner of Labor signs the final order, and so he is the one that makes the ultimate decision. And he can overturn the determination of an ALJ, but under the Bureau's own rules and under the Administrative Procedures Act, it's unlikely, it's difficult for the ultimate decision maker to make any changes in the findings of facts. So it's uncommon for that to occur.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Ferriola.
It may be difficult or impossible to change the fact set, but it's not at all impossible for the administrator of our state agencies to overrule the findings of administrative law judges. It happens quite frequently. And I just wanted it on the record that although we are maintaining the appearance of a neutral third-party administrative law judge process, it really is totally under the control of the administration. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any additional questions? I did want to clarify one item for the record. Mr. McKean, my understanding is a number of years ago, obviously I was here at the time, we did some things to change the administrative law process and set a panel up of basically hearings officers or administrative law judges. Boley was one of the agencies amongst many that was exempted from that. I just wanted to be sure that that was on the record, that that decision was made previously by this body.
Yes. Do you remember the bill number?
Not the bill number, but
it was House Bill 2525 that did that. Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, what is
facts
now
that are useful to no one or nobody?
What is now ORS 183635, and that copy of that is being passed out, is the statute that first of all says that administrative hearings are assigned to the Office of Administrative Hearings, but then in subsection 2 it lists the agencies that have been accepted from that list, and these are agencies that typically have their own ALJs. And so twice this body, again, once when this was a pilot program, the Office of Administrative Hearings, and then when the bill was made, or the office was made permanent, twice this body decided to allow these 25 agencies, including the Bureau, to retain their own hearing officers or not have to use the office's Office of Administrative Hearings ALJs.
Okay. Any additional questions? Seeing none, thank you both very much. I will now call up John Van Landingham and Sean Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Van Landingham. I work as a legal aid lawyer in Lane County. I'm here to talk, to ask you to support the bill, and to make sure that you're aware that the first three sections, 1, 2, and 3, have to do with a method of proving discrimination called disparate impact. I am the chief tenant advocate within something called the General Landlord-Tenant Coalition, which since 1993 has produced an omnibus negotiated compromise bill amending landlord-tenant law, residential landlord-tenant law, and submitting it to you all, and you all have adopted it. In 2003, we negotiated language putting this in the statute. It is already a court-adopted concept. Without the statute, the concept continues to apply. One of our principles as a coalition is that we like to put things in the statute to help landlords and tenants understand what the deal is, because most of them do not use lawyers and are not lawyers and do not read case law. So they would not know what the Supreme Court said about disparate impact. We submitted it to you in 2003. You adopted it. It stayed in the statute. In 2007, Senate Bill 725, the first effort to get substantial equivalency, deleted it. As far as we can tell, it was inadvertent. We didn't notice it ourselves. And we even supported that bill. So bad on us for missing that. We want our statute back, please, very much, and that's why it's here. We also want to note that we appreciate Mark Senator Carter's support for this concept and for substantial equivalence, and I can explain the concept if anybody wants to know.
Yeah. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Sean Miller. I'm here today on behalf of the Oregon Rental Housing Association, a statewide landlord rental owners organization made up of about over 5,000 members. We're here also in support of House Bill 3639A and specifically the disparate impact discrimination statute, as John alluded to, that was inadvertently deleted last session in 725. It is important to restore that back into the statute for landlords and tenants to easily understand that balancing test of the discrimination statute. And I'll close, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from Mr. Miller or Mr. Van Landingham? Seeing none, thank you both very much. I see no one else. I'll close the public hearing.
She's right there.
Oh, she's right there. Okay. Go to a work session on House Bill 3639A. Is there a motion to pass the bill to the floor with a do-pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, so moved.
It's been moved to pass 3639A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, would the clerk please call the roll?
No.
Senator Lockyer?
Aye.
Senator Brown?
Aye.
Senator
Thurman? No.
Senator
Devlin? Aye. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair, we're going to give this bill some purpose by giving you a notice of a minority report.
Thank you very much, Senator Atkinson. Senator Atkinson has served notice of a minority report. In this particular case for carriers, Senator Avakian, will you carry, and will you defer to Senator Carter if she wishes to carry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We will now go to the last item on our agenda for this meeting of the Rules Committee today. I will go to House Joint Memorial 102.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Joint Memorial 102 urges Congress to enact and fund the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program.
Is there anyone here? Seeing no one, I will close the public hearing and open a work session on House Joint Memorial 102. Is there a motion to send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I would move HJM 102 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. It's been moved to send HJM 102 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing no discussion, will you call the roll?
No.
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Aye. Motion passes.
Did he vote yes on that?
Yeah.
Senator Brown, will you carry?
Sure.
Okay. Committee members, that finishes this schedule. I will. Yes. I close that work session. I will potentially call another meeting later this afternoon, maybe early this evening. I will let you know later than about 5:30 what will happen.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
5:32 of your members, and I believe all of the members of this committee are going to be polishing the brass at 5:30. We should be easy to find.
Okay, we will find everyone. We will make sure that. But I will let your office, Senator Ferrioli, I will let your office know if I have scheduled another Rules Committee meeting, and I will try my best to make a decision by 5:30.
Mr. Chair, does that mean that we would be expecting a meeting no earlier than 6:30 p.m.?
It's 1 hour minutes.
Could be as early as 5:30, but I would be calling you long before 5:30 to let you know.
That would be by 4:30, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
And Mr. Chairman, just for the sake of clarity, we would have 1 hour to bring our minority report information from the close of this hearing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do I understand the rules?
Yes.
Is it this hearing or the...
No.
This hearing.
This hearing.
After they adjourn the meeting.
Oh, yeah. Can we stand at ease for a moment? It's an executive appointments committee. Could all committee members please... I will be making a decision by 6 o'clock on whether or not there is another Rules Committee meeting this evening, and if there is another one, it will be at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
If for some reason I can't meet that deadline, I will make sure that all of you are notified.
All right.
So with that, I'm
adjourned.
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was about to thank you for your courtesy.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Fairley. Thank you very much. Wait a minute.
It's not on the record. Well, it didn't happen.
Did you just adjourn the committee?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think?